I think
this stuff. This is history here. Mm. You are history.
This is garbage. I can say I bled for garbage. This is nothing. This is just nothing.
But look at this heavyweight champion who after his fight, he was like, Bismillah, Anthony Johnson.
First of all, I want to thank God. I want to say Bismillah. And then...
I look at this youth. These days, they throwing money here. Mayweather always taking the videos with his pack of money.
Like Masvidal, he's in your camp there.
Yeah, Yoel Romero, everyone is over there. Colby Covington.
Colby Covington.
Yeah. Maxim Dadashev, he was from Dagestan too. And I hear from the brothers, you know, he was...
Wait, Dustin Poirier, yeah. He said, what did he say?
He said, I was treated better here than I was being treated back home.
He was
treated better
by the Muslims. Yeah. The watches that he's wearing, you see the cars that he's riding. Other people, because we're...
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. And I got we got a lot to talk about. I have a special guest in the studio. My brother, your brother, Ali Kadokoff. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Ali, how you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, brother. How are you?
It's very nice to see you. We finally got you in the studio.
I know, right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
How you adapting to the cold?
Not very good, brother.
No. But I thought people from the Caucasus Mountains over there, they're used to the cold.
Well, they do. I'm living in America for 13 years, and yeah. I've been in Florida for 8.
You like the Florida weather, huh?
I love it. Yeah.
All right. So for people that don't know, you grew up wrestling your whole life.
Yeah,
you trained jiu-jitsu, and you were also doing MMA, mixed martial arts. Specifically, you were doing cage fighting, no rules fight, or not like the no rules fighting, like you did that even before.
There was no rules before back in the days. This was called Pankration, and this was a bare knuckle, you know, you can stomp everything, you can hit on a groin or poke in the eye. This was only rules, that's it.
Uh-huh.
But the rest you can do, jump on a face.
Where was that, in Russia?
Like, yeah.
You were doing that?
Yeah, back in the days when I was younger.
Yeah. But then you got into fighting professionally.
Yeah, professionally. When the MMA just started picking up, you know, this was a pride. When Fedor Emelianenko was fighting and stuff like that. Yeah, then I get into it back home. I started. And professionally, I started doing it when I get here in America, like about 13 years ago, something like that. Yeah, I started training under the Jeremy Horn in Utah. And
this Jeremy Horn, he was in the UFC.
Yeah. He had over 130 fights.
Jeremy Horn had 130, over 130 fights, right?
He beat the guys like Chael Sonnen. He fought like guys like Randy Couture, Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Big names, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, he was known for being very technical on the ground, for his jiu-jitsu.
Very good jiu-jitsu, yes.
Where did he learn jiu-jitsu from?
His jiu-jitsu, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I know they was have a team back. You remember back in the days in UFC, they have a teams.
Yeah.
Like a Lions, something, whatever. Different schools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His school was with Matt Hughes and Pat Miletich, Robbie Lawler. All these guys was their team. So.
Yeah, but he was very, very technical. He had a very good ground game.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So you were training with him. So you were doing a professional fighting before now. All these new guys are coming up.
Way before them, because I'm kind of a little bit older than them. But yeah, I did this before them. I was actually the first guy from our country who made it to U.S. and start compete professional in MMA.
You were one of the first from that area, from Russia, the Caucasus.
Yeah, because I don't remember. Then after was some guys start coming up to the club. I don't remember, Adlan. It's different guys. They just start coming.
So they took out, were you guys inspired also? A lot of the guys, because many people, they watch the early UFCs and they see Hoyce Gracie and they see the Gracie family. Was that also had an impact on you guys?
Of course, this was an inspiration, you know. All the boys was looking at it. They want to be there, you know. Uh-huh. Like when I was back home, I look at them on TV and I said, man, these guys are amazing. They probably are beasts. But then when I get to the gym and have a chance to train with them, I said, man, we can do it too.
Yeah.
We can do it too.
So you came here before, because when you think about Russia now, many people, the person who put that area probably more on the map, many people don't know about, even though he was one of the legends. What's the Russian?
Fedor Emelianenko.
Emelianenko,
yeah. He was competing back in the days, yeah, but he was in the Pride. And remember, Pride back in the days was number one.
Uh-huh.
It was way ahead of the UFC.
Yes.
And then, you know, Pride is crash and UFC pick it up. Yeah. Now it's UFC's in a different level. Uh-huh.
So then you're an older generation than, are you from, because many people now, if you mention this area, they know it because of Khabib.
Yeah, of right? course, yeah.
So where was he at? Was he fighting when you were fighting?
He was doing a sambo and stuff like that. You know, he's younger than me. Every age difference. But he was been doing sambo. He was competing. He was very successful, as most of the guys over there back in the days they did. As I know, he was been in Ukraine. I think his father was a head coach over there at sambo or something like that. I don't know. He was competing and he was very successful in sambo and stuff like that.
Yeah, last time we were talking, last time we spoke or before that, we were talking about that you were actually, you've been in his corner, you know him very well, you guys, you come from that same area.
We was, we were have the same manager, you know what I mean, for all of us mostly.
Yeah.
And the way his manager, you know, put me in his corner when he was fighting in Orlando against the...
In Khabib's corner.
Yeah.
Dos Anjos.
Dos Anjos, yeah. So he fought Dos Anjos. And this is the first time we met Khabib over there. When I was in his corner. Yeah, very, you know, from there.
Yeah. So many people now, they don't know that you actually... What was the reason you actually left? Because how long did you actually fight for? How long were you a professional fighter for?
I've been fighting for minimum like 10 to 12 years, man.
10 to 12 years?
Yeah, that's my pro. And I don't even count the amateur career because the amateur have been a very long time. I was competing wrestling, kickboxing. I did hand-to-hand fighting. That's what we called, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been competing in all different type of stuff. Then I came here. I fought a lot of amateur fights in MMA.
For over a decade.
Then I start fighting professionally. And you know, I get to the deen, you know how it is. I start to learn about the religion, you know. I find out it's haram. I get deeper into it, you know. I find out the straight hadith when you cannot do this.
So people don't know when they hear deen now. So now pretty much means that you started to reflect and you started to think about what's my purpose in life.
Exactly.
Because those are the questions that many people, I mean, it's very simple, the concept, because... That mic that you're using to speak has a purpose. You're using the jackets more here because that jacket has a purpose to keep you warm.
Everything have a purpose in this life.
But so you started to think, what's my purpose?
Exactly. And, you know, I'm start to look into the Quran, start to study the religion, you know, and this explain you everything. Why you created, why you here, what your purpose, you know what I mean? The God give us a freedom of the choice, but in the end, everyone have to pay. There's like you're going to the supermarket, you can buy, you can get the car and you can put anything inside, but in the end there's a cashier, you have to pay for it, you know.
Yeah, that's
mean?
A good point.
So the same with the life, you know, we're living the life, and you cannot say, oh, I didn't know, because God send you prophet after prophet after prophet, and he bring you the books to live by.
Yeah.
And you cannot say, oh, I didn't know how to do it. And he don't send the angel or some special, he sent the humans just like us, you know, to teach us, to guide us, and to explain us why we're here and what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah opened my eyes, you know, and I'm very grateful.
But you don't come from a background, you weren't someone who was born into a Muslim family?
No, I born in a Christian family, actually. Uh-huh. Orthodox Christians, yeah. My mom's side was Muslims, but it's what we call the traditional Muslims. You know, back in Soviet Union, you know how it was. They take their religion away from the people. So people was living without religion. They just say, I'm Muslim or I'm Christian, when they didn't even know nothing about the religion. Because back in the days over there, people was hiding the books and stuff like this. You know, this was pretty bad.
They were hiding the books?
Yeah, they was hiding the Qurans. I show you the videos on YouTube when the people after the Soviet Union is break down, they was hiding the books on the walls. Man, you know, they build up.
I saw that.
So, you know, I mean, this was like, this crazy.
Yeah, trying to keep the knowledge away from the people.
Yeah.
I heard right now the Uyghur Muslims, what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the actual text of the Quran and the Bible.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, they've gotten to that to that point.
It's what communism do to the people, you know.
Yeah, but this is another proof in and of itself that you cannot suppress what's just innately, intrinsically built in you to believe in the Almighty, in the Creator, that after all this time, how long was communism over there?
Exactly. It's supposed to be, by today, supposed to be no religion in earth at all.
Yeah.
But guess what? Every person born with the God in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always going to try to reach to his creator.
Yeah.
This is just how we are. And the people right now, actually in Russia, you're going to be impressed. You see the people who go through the communism, the young people, young generation, the sisters are covered. You see a lot of sisters wearing the niqab. You see a lot of brothers growing the beard. You know, and subhanAllah, there's like a lot of people is right now is going to study, they learn the religion. A lot of Russians themselves convert to the Islam. You know, like Allah promised us, the light of Islam is never going to be shut mm-hmm. down, you know. So this is amazing. This is what's showing me the truth about this religion, you know. Doesn't matter how people try to put down, spread the bad words about the Muslims. We, the most biggest ummah in the world, we're growing every day. And I hear, I think in London, right, the Muhammad is one of the famous names over there, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard one of the, so it just shows, because Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, saying that he's going to be exalted. And you see, you know, to this day, you know, every time, it just, even here in this country, you had it in the Supreme Court, him labeled as one of the most famous of lawgivers.
Mm.
They honored the Prophet Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah.
Peace and blessings be upon him. Muhammad Ali, right, is amazing.
Yes, exactly.
Where they have the Walk of the Stars.
Yeah, yeah. He put on the wall, yeah.
Yeah. When you're into this life, particularly we're talking about, let's say you're in the spotlight now, you're chasing, you see Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Someone like that. And you see the watches that he's wearing. You see the cars that he's riding. Other people, because we're creatures of imitation, we see that, we're attracted to it.
Of course.
So the man wants to hook up with more women. He wants to fulfill his desires, his lust, his passions. So he wants the money. So he wants to get the belt.
Yeah.
He wants to win that belt. So then what? He can have all the perks, as we say, that come with it. But they're not thinking about what you... So what had that divide happen in your life? Because you're like, okay, I'm doing this. I need to hit the big payoff.
Because mm-hmm.
there's not much money at still, right? How's the money now with compared to NFL, NBA, basketball? You're busting your butt, getting all these injuries,
yeah.
very little. So you're looking to get that big payoff so then you get all the perks. Now here you come along thinking about what's my purpose in life. But other people are not thinking about that.
Yeah. You know, you're going simply, you're going to go to the graveyard and you're going to look at this hole. Can you get your cars, your money, your watch, your fame over there? Your family's going to be over there with you. They cry one day. Your friends, everybody, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The most is 1 year. You're going to be forgotten. Doesn't matter how good you was, how famous you was, you gone. Where's the people who been here 100 years ago? We don't know them. We don't hear about them. You gone. So what next? You know what I mean? This is what you have to think about. What mm-hmm. next? You know, you can don't believe in God. You can argue about the religion. You cannot argue about the death. Yeah. You're going to die. You know what I mean? And what after?
Yeah. Wow.
What after? So you have to think about this. You know, this is the best. When I was going to the graveyard and I see how they put the man over there and I imagine myself in this hole, you know, and what, you know, some people say, what are you going to do if you're going to find out the God is not there after you die? I say, you're going to feel worse if you're going to find out he's there. you know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. So this was amazed me, you know, when I'm start thinking like, you know, all this is just dunya, you know, this life, it doesn't matter. This materialistic stuff, it doesn't matter, man.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean nothing because, you know, this is just a fitna, you know. You want this, you want that, you want a woman, you want to be famous, you want... But in the end of the day, man, like, okay, as a fighter, you're winning, one lost, that's it, you forgotten. Like Habib right now, he's fighting. If you're going to lose to the Tony Ferguson, people going to forget. But this is just the nature of the people. They don't remember 99 good things you did, they're going to remember one bad thing you did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nature of the human being.
Because if you look at some of the legends in UFC, today's generation, they don't know if you mention, like, let's say Matt Hughes.
Yeah, they don't even know him.
If you mention some of the other guys, Pat Miletich,
yeah,
who else?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who
Jeremy Horn.
Yeah, yeah.
People are like, who's that?
Yeah, and he's a legend. The other guy's not even close to this guy. He have 130 fights in his prime. He was very famous. But look, little time passed by. People
forgotten.
Get older. That's it. That's all you're doing.
So you're thinking about these things now.
Of course, man.
You're not somebody, I mean, people think, okay, fighter, he's not, you know, you're somebody who's also, you were close to or becoming an attorney
And no, I have a degree.
You're in a degree.
A criminal law degree back home. Yeah,
so attorneys are really good at looking at things from an analytical, really dissecting everything. So before you started to, now you got to really forsake and go against the grain, as we say it, with your parents, your culture. So you really are looking at the evidence of Islam to make sure that it's indeed from the Creator. It's not a man-made way of life, a fake religion.
If you look at every religion, at any point testified that God is only one. You know, and then you see here and there, the people start throwing up over there to somebody with the God. You know, he have a, like a son, or he have a, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and then you start to understand, like I read the Bible, Old Testament, and they tell me the New Testament. Well, New Testament is still Old Testament, because this came, then Quran is the very, very New Testament. The Quran came after the Bible, right? So the Old Testament is all completely testified as God is one. You know what I mean? Jesus himself says God is Alpha and Omega. Then in New Testament, this Trinity came. You know what I mean? And as I read, if you hear about the pastor, his name was Ariani. You never hear about him. No?
Arius, yeah.
Yeah, Arius. He was talking about Tawheed.
Yeah.
Right? The God is one and stuff. And I read the story when they say the Greeks and the Romans cannot bring the Tawheed because they was always on what? The Zeus.
Pagans,
the, you know,
yeah.
So they cannot do that. So they say, let's bring the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because people have to have
that. They already had that concept of worshiping, you know, multiple gods, three gods, four or five, make them one now.
Yep. So, you know, they was trying to follow that because they know people is not going to be accepting only one God. Like it's in generation, you know.
Yes.
People never want to believe in one God. But this is very simple. The God is one. There's 10 commandments in the Bible. Okay. Every Christian is supposed to believe. The first commandment says what? The God is only one. So just simply breaking all the, you know what I mean? So when I read it and I read the Quran, you know, the Quran makes sense for me because Quran, not just the book of the history. They have a science when they're explaining how the kid, how the human step by step became a human being, you know what I mean?
Development of the human embryo from that early stages is there in the Quran, yeah.
Now, then they talk about the universe, the sun, you know, the everything. They have so much science, even the mosquito, the ayah about mosquito, you know what I mean? There's like, it's crazy. So everything over there. And the God just guide you through his prophets, everything, man. When you marry, what you have to do. If you divorce, what you have to do. If you get the woman with the child, what you have to do with orphan, you know what I mean? Every step, how you have to deal with the business, how you have to deal with the, you know, this is ridiculous how, you know, show me the, any other religion who step by step showing you that stuff.
So this is what really caught, this is what really had you pursue Islam more, looking into it, all the evidence and all these things, blueprint for living your life.
Yes, evidence right there. You want to see, you go to the Mecca, you see the first place where the people was worship in the Kaaba, you know. You see the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know. So you see all the Sahaba. The proof is over there. You see with your own eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like.
But this main thing, I like what you're saying, is just the pure monotheism, the what we call Tawheed. Like many people, they do get confused and they get turned away and they, you got to like put your brain on hold when you talk about Trinity. So really it was just making a shift from believing that this whole, this philosophy that came up borrowed from the pagan Romans and that Greeks. So then they make God into three, but not three, but one. And people get confused, but to the original organic way, the pure way, which is that what really captivates so many people. There's only one God. It's not three. Just leave it alone at one, one. That's it.
I saw the, little short video clip from the movie. The guy bought the statue, and he walk away and he come back and he say, "Man, why this God doesn't talk anymore? What happened? I need to change the battery."
Yeah.
And the guy who was sitting over there, he say, "He have no battery. That's done. That's died." He say, "What you mean your God has died?" He say, and he say like, "No, no, no." He say, "I created." He say, "Do you create the God?" He say, "Or God created the humans." You know, he hold this statue in his hand. So he said, "No, the God hear us all. You can straight talk to him." He said, "Then why you create a statue if we can talk to the God?" You know what I'm saying? He just like, oh, simply, if you can't talk to the God, but you see how humans are. Remember the story with the Musa, when they create the bull, when he was, after they see how he, in front of, can you imagine this, seeing with your own eyes, somebody open the ocean in front of you and save you from the slavery, and you still going to go and build the Tawhut. You know what I mean? You build the bull to worship. That's how humans these days. They have to see something to worship it. This way, in Christian, when I was Orthodox Christian, there was a draw the called Icona.
Yes.
Icona is the picture with some holy person, you know, and they worship it. Or they ask through them to the God. When the Bible themselves teaching them, when the Jesus himself go to the place worshiping, how he did it? He kneeled down and he say, "Oh Father in heaven," right?
Yeah.
In the end, he don't say in the name of Jesus Christ, because they say this how they was teaching the prayer. No, the prayer was Amin. When we read the Surah Al-Fatiha, what we say in the end? We say Amin. You know, Surah Al-Fatiha is two steps. The first, when you greeting the Allah, say Allah is merciful and everything and stuff. In the end, you ask him to guide you to the straight path. You know, and you say Amin. So for me, this, I don't know, man.
It's common sense. But it's a shame that common sense, as they say, is not common practice with many people. So I think the first thing is that because this really resonated with you and so many people who are coming, because Islam continues to be the fastest growing way of life in the world, because it makes sense, is based on proof and evidence. It's authentic, has an authentic book, a miraculous book, the Quran. If anybody comes at it with sincere heart and mind, puts it to the test, they'll see that this is from the Creator. It makes sense to only worship one and only one God. But I think the biggest idol nowadays that people have to break first and foremost is themselves and their ego.
Exactly.
And since we're talking about fighting, and yeah, you know, here's I was looking at, I think you think this is one of the things that people now are worshiping.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is like, of course, man. So you have so many rituals. You know, when you worship the Creator. This is actually my son's belt.
Mashallah.
Yeah, so the example I'm setting is that, you know, when you start and worship, obviously we know worshiping the Creator is just serving your Creator, doing everything he loves, staying away from everything that he dislikes. And this is how you live a more fruitful, balanced, blessed life. We have certain rituals, right?
Yeah.
Certain actions that we do throughout the day. But if you look at other people's lives, there are certain rituals you do. A fighter will have certain rituals, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll wake up at a certain time.
Yeah.
Some maybe wake up real early. It could be Fajr. They could be praying at that time, right?
Of course.
Then they'll eat so many times a day.
Yeah.
We pray five times a day, yeah, right? They'll fast to catch weight.
Yeah.
So they're fasting from certain foods. It's rigorous, man. You really like almost torturing yourself, right?
Yeah.
So then you're doing that to achieve the belt,
the belt
that comes with the perks to get the status. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't know. Do you see the video of Mike Tyson?
Yeah, when he broke all the belts?
Yeah.
This stuff. This is history here. Mm. You are history.
This is garbage. I can say I bled for garbage. This is nothing. This is just nothing.
Yeah, he broke
said this
and
is
throw,
nothing.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
He said what is important is my family and the God. He said you have to live, you know what I mean, for the God, because... this old time.
This is like a toy.
Yeah,
I said, if they're making these things for the kids,
yeah,
so they put these things for the adults now, and
yeah,
we're like
exactly.
kids, and we're chasing.
We're chasing the belt, we're chasing, man. But the point I want to make about the word jihad,
yeah,
okay, a lot of people hear that, they scared, that's it, you know, all they hear, but jihad is the word. Even Mike Tyson says on his one interview about the jihad, jihad is when you fight your own desires.
Yeah.
Like, if you're married, this other woman, you want to go sleep with her.
Yeah.
You don't do it. This is jihad. If you want to go, bunch of stuff, the riba, you know, the everything in this life, what we have desire into, drugs, alcohol, you know, all that stuff. This what we call jihad with your own soul. So you fight your own soul through your life. And this is what exactly the God tell you to do. You know what I mean? And when you fight your own soul, to stop doing that stuff, this is the real jihad you do.
Yeah, jihad is to establish peace and justice in the world, peace with yourself, with your Creator first and foremost.
Yes.
So there's a lot of these misconceptions. Do you run across a lot of those? Did you yourself, before you totally accepted Islam, how long did it take you as an attorney now, mm-hmm, putting it to the test, right? Sound intellect, sound mind, sound reasoning. How long did it take you of investigation that before you concluded, this is it, this cannot have come from Muhammad, peace be upon him, from a group of men, from the devil, some would say, but this, after you exclude those, after because the Quran can only come from one of these. It's either Prophet Muhammad, he wrote the Quran himself, either it came from a group of men conspiring together, or it's from the devil. Once you go ahead and knock all these out, there's only one thing left. one door that's there is, and it's from the creator. You knocked all these out. How long did it take you to knock it out that you finally realized that this is from your creator, from the creator?
Of course, because, you know, when we live in Russia, back in the day, this was a war with the Chechnya Russians. Yeah. You probably hear about that.
Yeah.
And all you see about the Muslims are terrorists, are bad people, they're killing, they're dead. And this is the media. I never in my life, because the majority is in my country is Christians, so I never go across the Muslim person. Yeah. So I didn't know about that, nothing. So, you know, then later on, we have internet. You know, on the internet, we start watching the stuff. I start learning, start reading the Quran. And I say, man, this is not what this religion preach. This is opposite of it. You know, so this lie, you can see the lie. The Quran says if you kill one innocent person, it's like you kill all humanity. And your place is going to be in the bottom of the hellfire. You know what I mean? So when you start studying the religion, you read the seerah, the life of a prophet and sahaba, you see how merciful. A couple days ago, I read one very beautiful story about Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. He, when his son was get injured in a fight, he died after. The killer of his son, after he accepted Islam, he came to him and he say, I was the one who killed your son. I came to ask for apologize. And he say, Alhamdulillah, you the one who sent my son to the paradise because he was fighting to spread the word of the God. And Alhamdulillah, he didn't kill you. Is not Muslim to send you to hellfire. You accept the Islam and you became Muslim. Can you imagine this? The father answer and the guy who killed his son.
That's deep. Wow.
You know what I mean? So there's like this beautiful, this was a beautiful people with a beautiful message. All people have to do is read. You want to learn about the real Muslims? Read. I guarantee you every other guy in your neighborhood is a Muslim. You just don't even know that.
Yeah.
With the same people like you, we work, we take care of our family. And we actually the ones who follow the message of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Do you think now it's because we're not like officially now, like the for 700-800 years, many people don't know that the Muslims were on top as the superpower. You had Andalus, Spain, 700-800 years where Jews, Christians, Muslims living together in peace, technology, science, everything was at like a pinnacle of knowledge. People were coming and sending, dignitaries were sending their sons to go ahead and learn. Like people right now send their children to American university. Yeah. People are sending
back home to the Muslims.
Back to the Muslim, to the university, to Islamic, to the universities where the Muslims were. People don't know this history. So we were the winning team, you can say.
Yes.
If you want to look at it like that, today people look at Muslims in such a negative light because of media, because of the hate provocateurs. So that's why Dawah sharing this message is so crucial and important. But do you think that's what it is? Because people have that mentality. They have that mentality like, you know, we're not on the winning team because now they look at Muslims as just in a negative light, that this keeps a lot of people away from, you know,
of course,
coming to us. Like, I'll give you one example. Like, look at this heavyweight champion who after his fight, he was like, Bismillah, Anthony Johnson.
First of all, I want to thank God. I want to say Bismillah. And then...
Yeah. You know, it seems like he's there, you know, he's there, but it's like now you got the courage to get in there and fight, but now a greater courage to come out and stand on the truth.
Exactly. But they're scared, you see, because of all this media and what the people think about you. They're even scared to come. They read the book, they see this truth, but they're scared to open up because they don't want the people and their fan base start saying, oh no, now he's
winning
a team
because they're not
exactly,
on the, yes,
exactly. You know what I mean? So this is why I encourage people like me. I was a Christian, you know. I grew up in Christian family. All my family converted. My mom, everybody. You know
Mosaic, I mean? Accepted Islam also. Yeah,
yeah, all of them. Yeah. And you know what I mean? All you have to do is learn. Just open the books, read, talk to the people who is a scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to the people who don't know nothing about Islam.
Yeah. I think people who are in the fight game, fight industry, they can, because you'll often... You know what it is to be humbled, right?
Yes.
So you got to be humble and you got to present yourself in front of your creator with sincerity, humbleness. And what you are doing is you are getting humbled by the thought of death, the departure date. Many people don't reflect that we're just a number of days. We're marked days and your fight can be your last fight. What if you get, you had like, go back to Matt Hughes. You know what happened to him.
Yeah.
He was a legend in the game. And then, he's fortunate. He got hit by a train.
Yeah.
And he was like paraplegic. He was just immobilized.
Yeah.
And that can happen. And then he's just forgotten.
And people don't even talk about him anymore. But that's how it is, man. You know, you own a horse one day, and then the next day something happened, people forget about you real quick.
Yeah.
Life is just move on, you know. And the only important thing in this life, okay, logically, let's see. If you're a businessman, okay, what you will be invest in something what is eternal or something just for time? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you're going to invest something eternal. So you know there's going to be afterlife and there's going to be eternal. So you will be investing in your eternal life, then you will invest in this life when you will die and everything you have, your houses, your cars, your money, everything is gone. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go with you to the grave. It's going to be just you. Not your kids, not your wife, not your parents, but just you. That's it.
Yeah.
You in a grave, you're done. Your life is over here. So what are you going to get with you over there?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do through your life? Did you take care of the poor people? Do you did what the God tell you about this life to do? He give you freedom of the choice. Yeah, you're free, but you still have to pay the price. There's a hell or there's a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, when they come to me, they say, okay, man, if God is so good, why there's so much worse in the world? Why there's so much bad stuff going on? I say this simple, okay? When Allah sent Adam and Eve in the earth and the Iblis, you know, Iblis make the dua to Allah, ask him to give him time to the judgment day. He can prove the humans not going to follow him, only the ones who is in the deen, you know what I mean? But what he say, the freedom of the choice. Allah says, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm letting you go. I give you a time. I give you prophets to guide you. You do whatever you want, but in the end you have to pay. So the simple, that's why the God doesn't do nothing. Everything we do to ourselves, you know? The war and everything is come from the people. God give you freedom of the choice. Go ahead. And then you have to pay. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. Yes, you do. You know what I mean? In every nation, this was a prophet who teach you, who guide you, follow the straight path.
I like the example you gave of being in a supermarket and people just imagine that you're in a supermarket and you're just packing up everything or a convenience or a nice mall and you're just filling up all your stuff, but at the end you got to pay. So you, for everything you've done in this life, there's accountability. You will be asked and you will be accountable, and that's where the day of judgment fits in. That makes sense that there'll be a day of judgment and we'll be responsible. And this is for not only the not yet Muslims who are out there, because when we say Muslim, it's just simply one who has submitted his or her will to the Creator.
Exactly.
But the Muslims out there who are listening now, and now they're also getting caught up into chasing, this belt. Did the UFC belt, is it gold? Platinum?
No. The same metal, man.
It's same like this
same
one?
Same metal.
Man. Same like this?
Just different word, man.
So it's not gold?
No, man.
It's like not all, you think all is gold, so it's worth like,
it's
you know.
It's not gold. You can't even sell it, man, if you want to.
Yeah.
No. I think there's not even, I think there's a plastic.
So what do we talk to our brothers? Pretty soon, probably some of our sisters are going down that route, you know, leaving the home to go train in the gym with the men, you know, to get in the ring, because it's actually a fulfillment of a prophecy of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, where he said that, you know, you guys will follow the ways of those before you, inch by inch, right?
Yeah.
If they went into a lizard hole, you'd follow them.
Yeah.
So now, not to get stuck, to stay awoken, right? You got awoken. You started to think about the purpose of life. You looked into the Quran, this book that provides all the evidence, you know, message was believable, the life of Prophet Muhammad. You accepted Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. You're living it. But now dunya is like hypnotizing a lot of people.
Exactly. It was the job of Shaitan, man. Uh-huh. He is over there 24 hours to do so. He promised Allah. This was his promise. I'm coming from the back, from the front, I'm going to be, you know, and what he do, the biggest, is money.
Yeah.
Everyone is chasing the money. I look at these youths. These days, they throwing money here. Mayweather always taking the videos with his pack of money. Like, come on, man, you know?
Yeah.
What is going to get you? The people are not going to love you with a pure love. When you have nothing and you see people around you, you know they for real.
Mm-hmm.
When you have something and you see a lot of people, you don't know why they're around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for me, like I say, I go through every book. I was a Baptist church. I was a Jehovah's Witnesses church. I was in a Mormon church. I learned a lot about the Jewish, Buddhism, every other aspect.
You really did your homework?
I did. And I go to the church. I was a Mormon at one point of my life. You know what I mean? I've been in Jehovah's Witnesses at one point of my life. I was Orthodox Christian at one point. And not like just basic one. I go to everything they have. When this was a Christmas, I was there all night. Like in Russia, you know, they stay all night at the church and they praying and they sing the songs. Then they leave some food over there because they say the Holy Spirit is going down to bless the food. They bring it, you feed your family.
Yeah.
So I go through all these rituals. You know, I wasn't like just basic. So as a Mormon, I will go through all the rituals too. And you see, I see this just... I don't want to say nothing to offend other people, but there's nothing.
There's nothing like the Dean.
No.
There's nothing like this way of life.
No, it's not even close.
Yeah.
The real one is Islam. There's only way and the real truth. I go through everything, man, and I'm telling you, the Islam is the way.
Islam is the only way of life that is God-given, not man-made.
Not man-made. This is a God-made. God sent us this the straight path to our God.
Yeah.
There's only way. There's no other ways.
I like there's ayahs, what we say, verses in the Quran where the Creator is saying, "Inna dina inna Allahi al-Islam," the only way of life that is acceptable. So we can make this easy because some people are confused. There's so many religions. You can have so many counterfeit dollar bills, but there's only one legitimate dollar bill,
exactly.
Right? Or currency that's legit. Now you have people trying to mimic that. But in the Quran, Allah is saying that the only way of life, this is the Creator speaking, that is acceptable in His sight is submission to His will. Islam.
The way He sent this to us, man, is very simple. You know, a lot of people told me when I talked to Him, but I pray too, but I'm a good person, but I do good things. I said, my friend, you have to pray the way that God wants from you, not the way you want it.
You can't do jumping jacks prayer.
Exactly. This doesn't do, you know.
People do that. Jumping jacks for Jesus, jumping jacks for push-ups. Yeah.
But it's simple. Okay, you tell your son, do something. He go do opposite. Do you going to be happy with him?
No.
You know what I mean? So the same with the God. Yeah. God give us, He guide us, and He said, this is the way I want it.
Yeah.
So it's simple. Do it. It's going to take 5 minutes of your time. But the word Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, 2 rakat of the sunnah in the morning worth more than everything in this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? You have to go deep in these words, man. You have to feel it with your heart, and you have to understand what he's saying, man.
It reminds me, but since we mentioned Jesus, I'd like to say that many Christians who will watch this, who might even be in the fight game, John Jones, maybe he tunes in, you know, he was saying Alhamdulillah at one point.
You do it. Oh, man, Alhamdulillah. God is so good.
But many people don't know. I just had someone come up to me yesterday and say, hey, I watched one of your programs. I didn't know that Jesus is a prophet in Islam. People don't know these basic things that we need to get out. One is that we believe in him. You cannot be a Muslim unless you believe and love Jesus.
Of course.
Not as a God, like he was a human being. He was a messenger like Abraham, Moses, Prophet Muhammad, the last final messenger. He never said, worship me as a God. He's not a literal son of God. Many people don't think like
because that. The stuff he did, they say, I say, okay,
Moses
did stuff too. So this make him be a God. He opened the ocean in front of people. He throw the stick and became a snake.
Yes.
You know, a lot of stuff, a lot of prophets did a lot of stuff. This doesn't make him be a God. You know what I mean? They say, okay, he born without the father. I say, okay, then Adam born without mother and the father. He's a double God then.
You those are things that help the person to think because this is logical.
Of
like,
course.
So people don't know we believe he was the Messiah. You know, he was born with a miraculous birth.
Yes.
He was
talking on the crib. Testify, you know, how he defend his mother. Okay, at one point.
From the cradle, he was defending his mother's honor.
Yeah, the same. Because can you imagine your daughter come and she say, okay, I'm pregnant from Holy Spirit. Who's going to believe her? You know what I mean?
So you cannot say one negative thing. They just had a film. I was talking about this in Brazil.
Yeah.
That they were portraying Jesus, peace be upon him, as a homosexual. So, Christians were outraged. We also stand in solidarity with the Christians to show that we are also outraged because we love Jesus as a mighty messenger.
Prophet, he's our prophet. If you don't believe in prophet, you're out of the deen. You're not in the religion.
You can go to the hellfire if you don't believe in Jesus. So we're not the enemy. We're not the antichrist.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just saying what Jesus said. Don't worship me. Worship, he would say, what? The Lord up in heaven, the creator. Worship the one God. And this is what fascinated you, and that's what had you accept Islam. Inshallah, more people can go ahead and hear what you have to say, your story, and think beyond the
plastic. The
and use that if you're already there. Let's talk for the brothers out there who are doing this. What I like about our brother Khabib is he makes sajda. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
We're not getting into, like, you obviously, you came to the conclusion that it's not permissible, it's harmful. Anything that's haram is something harmful for the human being. So you came to that conclusion. This is clear in the deen. This is not something that's accepted. We should stay. We should be away from it. But now someone's already in it. You also talked about before that there are also, you didn't want to judge people in a state where you know where they're coming from, and you were making excuses for your brother. What were you saying? That some people about the food, I mean, not being able to put food on their plate, and, you know, no other jobs. What were you saying about, we talked about before?
Yeah, the...
Again, nothing justified, but just kind of having some empathy of why people go in that direction.
This is just, you know, this, how to say, this fitna for people. They fitna, see Habib right now, how famous he is.
They're not thinking, just go.
Yeah, they're not thinking. They just want to be in his spot. Everyone look, but they don't know what behind it. You know, nobody look. Like one time when Sheikh make a mention, you see the big house, you see nice car, you want it. Okay, get the problems of these people, what they have inside too. Mm. Maybe have a cancer. You know what I mean? Maybe he don't even talk to his wife. Maybe his kids is a drug addict. Take this problem with this house. And with, you know what I mean? Yeah. So the same with the fighters. You know, you want to be, you don't know what behind all that, what he go through behind all that. You know what I'm saying? So like,
everybody's
just fitna, you know, like you say, they chasing this
plastic.
Man, yeah, they think that that's it, man. People going to recognize me on the street, you know?
So that goes back to breaking the first idol. Is yourself, your ego, because what's your intention now? What are you trying to do, right? You just want people to idolize you, to worship you, pretty much.
What the purpose you doing that? The purpose this to get over there and make dawah to the people, or the purpose to be famous, get the girls, and get the money?
So that's a form of actually associating partners with Allah. Many people don't know the concept of shirk. This is very dangerous. It's a very thin line that you don't want to fall into. Yeah, very dangerous. They interviewed people, a majority of people, and they asked, what would make you happy? Like, what would you want? They said to win the lotto. Mm-hmm. And then they did a study for those people that actually did win a lotto. Most of them were even more miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like lotto now for many people, winning the belt.
Less money you have, I know one thing, less you're going to answer in front of Allah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand. And if you have money, you better be on a deen to spend this money on the right way. Did you see Habib, what he did? He go to Africa.
Mashallah.
You know what I mean? And he did a lot of good work over there.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Me, I will not recommend to Muslims to fight and do all that stuff. You know, I will actually recommend be away from it, but I will recommend them to work out. Like Brother Eddie, the black belt jiu-jitsu.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, you have to be tough. Not just mentally, you have to be tough physically too. Yeah. You know, in our sunnah, you know that. Shooting the air bowl, whatever you call it, swimming and riding the horse. This means you have to be physically active. You know,
that's so what that's representing. That's representing.
Exactly.
Like,
you have to be physically active. And these days, people don't want to. They think all you have to be is a doctor, is a lawyer, but you don't. No, you have to work out to make sure you're physically is there too.
Yeah. You know? This is what I like about Habib, our brother Habib, is that, and for the people who are, they're already in it, right?
Yeah.
Inshallah, they get out, they separate. And I heard he's getting ready. He's talking about retiring. He especially, they had some boxers and some people who died recently. This woke up some people. Who are these guys?
It was actually one of the guys was a Muslim.
Yeah.
Maxim Dadashev, he was from Dagestan too. And I hear from the brothers, you know, he was a Muslim, man.
Yeah.
And can you imagine you die in a ring, you know, stuff like this? This kind of, it's humiliating, you know what I mean? It's a bad death. So subhanAllah, may Allah, you know, forgive his sins, and you know what I mean?
Ameen.
But I'm telling you, man, you have to...
You got
to
think.
Yeah, you have to
think. Beyond the plastic.
You have to think, because all that... I know, man, you know, we're sitting here and we think like this too, but be in his spot, be making that money, be famous like that, it's not that easy just to walk away.
Yeah.
This take a bigger man, and you know that, man, you know what I mean? But you have to think, man. You have to think about God, why you're here.
Uh-huh.
You're not here to do that. Okay, you already made it. Get out and start spread the word.
Yeah.
Start to make, you know what I mean? Start to work to the next life.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do the good deeds to deserve the paradise, man.
Uh-huh. You know the story that the man where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and earth, he came. He was, there was a town and there was one worshiper there. And this worshiper was worshiping Allah, right? But you imagine many people not even worshiping Allah.
Yeah.
But this person, he wasn't calling people towards the pure monotheism, doing the dawah, wasn't inviting the good, calling people away from the harms of life, you know, away from the evil. And what did Allah say? You know, he's about to destroy this town, this place where
people
are just
going
to
find over there. Yeah, right?
These worship. People that just they went away. They started to turn towards paganism, idolatry, you know, materialism and everything. But Allah says, start with this man first. You know,
yeah.
So you also have in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those people who were breaking the Sabbath. You know, they said they try to set, you know, play with the deen, and they try to set up the nets. You know, just condensing the story. But at the end, there was the people, the ones that Allah saved are the ones who were inviting people. So now you have this platform. You're someone, let's say like Khabib. I mentioned his name because many people don't know many of these other fighters.
Yeah.
But this is a good thing now, at least. You're out there trying to invite people to goodness. You're trying to invite people to use that platform to be a good example, not to be, may Allah guide the Conor McGregors.
This is exactly the spot for him where he's supposed to explain who Muslims are.
MashaAllah.
You know what I mean? Yes. You have to tell, we're not the terrorists they show us on the TV.
You got
to
speak up now.
We're not oppress the people. We're not here to push you and to convert you to our religion. We are here to show you the way of life.
Yeah.
We're not going to knock on your door like some people do, but we're going to talk for ourselves. You know what I mean? We're not the terrorists. We're not the killers. We're not spreading the... We're telling you what the Bible actually teaches you to. Don't drink alcohol. Don't sleep with many women. You know what I mean? Don't do the drugs. Don't kill. Don't rob.
You can marry more.
Yeah, that's
if you
it.
Have,
yeah,
if you
yeah,
have your testosterone above, what, 700, 800?
Yeah. You can marry more, yeah.
Yeah.
But Ten Commandments.
Treat them like a woman's supposed to be treated.
Yeah,
but these guys, like,
equal.
Like
no.
these guys are out there, you know, raping women, all that and stuff.
Brother, I believe if I train with the people, they telling me, oh, how is it two wives? I say, my man, you have a wife and you have a 3 side chicks.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? You know what I mean? But like I said, Ten Commandments, this is what we do. If I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, don't drink, don't beat your wife, don't rub, don't do that stuff, and you telling me I'm a terrorist because of that, but this is how it is in these days. If you're trying to spread the good word, you know what I mean? If you're trying to, you know, like back in Russia, man, when you have a beard and you dress the proper way, they give you trouble.
Yeah.
I don't stand just for that, man. You know what I mean? Like,
we talked about that before, but look at the pictures of Jesus.
Exactly.
Esau,
he have a beard.
They all have a beard.
Have a beard.
What's your problem with the beard?
Exactly,
now?
Man.
Yeah.
So
it fights the rays of cancer.
Okay, what about Mother Mary?
Yeah.
What about Mother Mary? She was wearing the hijab.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's covered completely.
Yeah.
The day I was flying, when I flying to Chicago over here, I see them, the Christian sister.
Yeah.
She was wearing the hijab. She was completely covered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But now I usually mention now it's anti-aging, anti-cancer, the UV rays, the pollen, all this stuff. They got all these benefits. You got people who aren't even religious. They're growing the beards because of all the benefits.
You know, we were saying, like a lion without a mane is a lioness, a man without a beard is a woman.
back to what I was saying. So you have if you have that stage now, that stage that tomorrow you can be quickly forgotten, utilize that stage. We've often repeated it to go ahead, like, and I mentioned Muhammad Ali a lot because he used to actually sign these brochures. Mm-hmm. What Jesus in Islam? What is Islam? Because people, they want his autograph. He would sign these things, educational pamphlets, and he would give to people. So at least now they're not going to throw away his signature. But maybe inshallah they're going to read it, open it, or their family would.
All you have to do is throw the seed in their heart. And if Allah is going to, you know, grow it, then, you know, inshallah they're going to understand. They just need to understand who Muslims are. So they stop hating without a reason.
Yeah.
How could you hate a person without a reason? You just see he's a Muslim, that's it, you hate him.
Yes.
You know, this you can't hate a person without knowing him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But do you see that this has done a lot of some good where people have seen and been intrigued, like by Khabib's, you know, compared to a lot of the other the Conor McGregors and people who have this cavalier attitude, they're just really disrespectful and whatnot.
Yeah,
but when they see someone like Khabib, who's well mannered, you know, respects, still lives with his parents, you know, takes care of his parents.
They show you a good character, you know, so people look at it and they like him.
Yeah.
Because this is how a person's supposed to be, and he's showing the manners in Islam. What teach him that?
Islam,
you know.
He's got to point it back to the sponsor. You know, people wear the Reebok, Toyota, and all that.
Sponsor is the Quran.
The sponsor is Islam, the Quran.
Yes.
Yeah, this is where he gets that.
Exactly, this is why he get the good character. You
this
know?
Is very
you
important.
See the stuff he did for Dustin Poirier too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of money, man. There's a lot of money to just give away like this for a charity. You know,
that's amazing. Since you mentioned that, because Dustin Poirier, at first he was talking about, and this is one of your training partners, right?
Yeah, we trained together.
Yeah, you train. Wait, you train with. what's the Miami guy?
Who, George Masvidal?
Masvidal. He's in your camp there?
Yeah, Yoel Romero, everyone is over there. Colby Covington.
Colby Covington.
Yes, yeah. Junior Dos Santos.
Colby Covington has some good things to say when you, we had made a video here, and he said...
he said, well, how he feel about the Muslims.
Yeah.
So, listen, how you feel about Muslims? Tell them.
I have nothing but love and respect for every Muslim in the world and anybody that wants to, your viewpoints are your viewpoints, and I would never judge anybody for what they believe in, and I have nothing but love for everybody and respect.
Okay, so you don't have nothing against the Muslims?
Hell yeah, much love and respect to the Muslims. I respect all you guys and what you guys believe in.
That's it. Thanks, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so all these people now that look at Khabib, and now you look at his demeanor, the way he represents himself, you'll go ahead and you'll point back to your sponsors, but people will think, man, okay, this is just this individual, he's a humble guy, whatnot. No, but it's actually your sponsor, meaning what is teaching you this is Islam, because he probably be doing the same thing like everybody else.
Of course, because he will have no values, you know what I mean? Like, we have a rules where we follow it, you know what I mean? And the rules set up by the Quran. Through the life, you have to have a good manners. You have to treat your neighbors nice. You have to, you know, take care of your parents.
Yeah.
And stuff like this. So this is what he learned. And this is what he has to do right now to point it to the people so they understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is beautiful. Worship one God. This is what attracted you to Islam, the evidence of the Quran, and be morally upright.
Of course.
Yeah.
Very important.
You're not a perfect human being. You're going to make mistakes. But then people say, hold on. They say, Ali, then who died for your sins now? Like, okay, now, yeah, you're not the perfect human being. You're sinful. You make mistakes. Yeah. But who's going to absolve you of your sins?
Exactly. I'm not can just give the backpack to my kids so they can carry it. You know, everybody have an answer. If I kill the person, I'm going to the jail. Not my kids going to the jail.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense, right? I don't know.
So they say, look, Jesus, he died for your sins. What do you say about that?
Logically, it doesn't make any sense. So I can go do whatever I want, spread the corruption in the earth because he's already died for my sins. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't make any
sense. How does it work in Islam?
Yeah, everybody's going to answer for his own sins. Mm-hmm. Everyone. Your dad, your mom, you. We're not going to answer for each other.
That makes sense.
Exactly, this makes sense. Okay, if this doesn't, then why we don't change the law? If I commit the sin, I say, okay, I give
pass
my
it on to someone else.
So he can do it. Go do the time for me.
How does forgiveness work in Islam?
You can forgive the person.
But if you do a sin against yourself or God?
You ask the God for forgiveness.
Makes sense.
It's straight up. You don't have no idols. You don't have nobody else. You don't have a partner. I don't need to ask you to ask for me. I ask God straight up.
Uh-huh.
I have to do, raise my hand and ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah. Do you feel, because last time I saw you, it was a really good news we had. We had one of the fighters there who took his shahada.
Oh, yeah, mashallah.
But do you see now that, again, someone will be very courageous, will get in there, and this is what we deem men. Like, we think, okay, a man who's getting in there and, you know, does this kind of martial art. But now courage is also part of being an alpha male, we want to call it today. You know, someone who's just, who's morally upright, and who also has courage.
Of course.
And now someone accepts, let's say, everything else. They'll try everything else, but now they're listening to us. They're listening to your story. That makes sense. Okay, I'm going to die. Let me think about my purpose. Everything around me has a purpose. Even that belt has a purpose. What's my purpose? They go ahead and they open their mind, their heart, look in Islam. But now it's like, hold on, how do they get this courage to go ahead like Anthony Johnson probably wants to do, but media and not on the winning team. Now someone accepts Islam. Do you see that they're like really nervous about it, talking about it, or even many fade out because of lack of courage?
The problem is because they're scared what people are going to think about it.
Scared of what people are going to think.
Yeah. As long as you don't care what people is going to think about you and what God is going to think about you, because when you die, the God is going to be the one who's going to, you're going to be answered in front.
Yeah.
You know, but you think about the people, you know, as me as a convert, like with my family, this was a very hard time. Explain to him, okay, we don't eat this type of meat. We eat this, you know what I mean? When you pray in front of them, everything is different for them because they never saw it and they don't know. So for them, they're scared what my family is going to think, what this, you know. If you see this, the truth, you have to accept it.
Yeah.
And you have to go with it. This would show you a real man.
Yeah.
You know?
The saying goes that if you don't stand for the truth and what you believe in, you'll fall for anything.
Exactly.
And we see that happening. So, but I think if you take baby, because it can be, I mean, there are these challenges. It can be very trying at times to go against the social pressures and that. But we've seen also that if you're committed little by little, taking those baby steps, that Allah, the Creator, if you show commitment, He will strengthen you. But if you want to go ahead and do everything else and you don't care about sinning and about, you know, what God Almighty, Allah has to say, so you're not scared there. But over here, you fear more the people instead of fearing your Creator. That's the problem.
You can be a world champion, the most strong human being on the earth, and you've been scared of the opinion of the people on you.
Wow, that's you see that a lot?
Yeah, huh? Of course, man.
In this industry, you see that?
Yeah, you see this person so strong. And you know when you ask him, you want to be, yes, I believe. And his voice is shaking and stuff like this. Like, come on, man. You're the strongest man in the earth. What's wrong with you, man?
You're
the strongest man. Like Anthony Jones, he's the best boxer in the world right now. Yeah. You know, the strongest man in the world, you can't say, you know. And you've been scared, what, to come out and say I'm a Muslim? Alhamdulillah. Yeah. You have to be proud of it. God choose you from the billions and billions of people being the truth, man.
Yeah.
To die being a paradise, man. You have to be, you know, but they don't got it. Like Prophet ﷺ, what do you say? The religion is stuck over here. If this is getting to your heart, you're not going to be scared of nobody.
Yeah. You mentioned something about people saying, I'm a good person, you know, I talk to God. But do you see this also? I see this a lot where people, they'll say, you know, I talk to God, but that's one thing. But how many people listen to God? That's another thing. Okay, exactly. It's just like me and you having a conversation where you're talking, or you're talking to your child or something, but they're not listening to you.
Exactly.
You know, they're not. They're talking to you, but when you tell them what to do, they're not listening. Exactly. So how many people are actually talking to the? You're just talking, but man, God Almighty sent us. Allah sent us what He wants us to do. You're not listening.
The problem is not just with non-Muslims. We have this problem with the Muslims too.
Big time. We're talking about the Muslims now. Exactly. We're talking about
they don't even listen to God. And especially people who speak Arabic and understand the Quran. And they still don't listen. They know their God talking to them and telling them what to do, and they don't listen.
Let's talk basic things like establishing salah in your life.
Exactly. Why you don't pray?
Yeah.
How is that? Oh, I work over here. Man, come on, man. I pray at the airport. I pray in the airplane. I pray everywhere I am. Mm-hmm. We prayed at the gym with you last time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was nice. Nice to see. Yes. We stopped. That was the beautiful thing about all the brothers, the Dagestani brothers.
They stopped their training. They were preparing for their fight.
We were praying salah together.
And guess what? The people around who was not Muslim, they respect it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you put yourself around the people like that, they're going to respect it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to put your foot down, man.
People, they often say, well, I got a clean heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like saying I got a clean mouth, but I don't brush my teeth.
Exactly, man. You know, your heart doesn't do nothing with it. Because you have to follow the rules. You follow the, you know, okay, this is a red light.
Yeah.
If you pass it, you know you're going to get ticket. You believe in it 100%.
Yeah.
So you don't believe that God tell you He's going to punish you for some type of things you're not going to do? He tell you He's going to punish you for salah. Why you don't do your salah? You know what I mean? Are you a believer or you not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's talk about this before we close. People like talking about these conversations, and maybe we can throw some more deen in there. So why you see Conor McGregor, he's chasing now. He's going out of his way to try to fight Khabib again.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You think he's gonna? And why do they give him? They give him because all these other guys like Khabib. He says, "Look, man, you gotta like wait your shot, your turn, right?" But he's trying to jump ahead of everybody to come in. And
Conor McGregor is a walking money bag. Uh-huh. All these guys that care. When he get beat up by the Khabib, you saw that after that. He said, "Man, this is just a business, just a business." This was his words. You know, he's not real. He's not a personality. He represent. He do this just to make money, to entertain people like WWE. This is a fake personality. So he created to entertain the people to make money. For Khabib, as an athlete, is the goal. He already beat him. He don't need to prove nothing. He don't need it. But if he want to have money, you know what I mean, and make more money, this is the money fight. The same with Mayweather. When he fight Mayweather, do you really think he will ever beat the Mayweather? Conor McGregor. No, everybody knows that, but people want to see this because it's entertainment. You know what I mean? But why this was for Conor? He know he not gonna beat Mayweather, the best boxer of the old time. This is a money fight. You know what I mean? People make money.
Was Khabib serious about wanting to fight Floyd also? You think so?
If you want to make good money,
those are the big money fights.
That's a big money fight. Yeah, this is a money fight for fans, you know. But athletes who is a professional, they know, well, you know,
yeah,
it's different. You can't be a boxer guy and just jump into the wrestling and became Olympic champion in wrestling, you know? Yeah. Different sport.
How do you think this did they sign everything for the Tony Ferguson?
Yeah, they're gonna fight, I think, in April or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But didn't they try to fight so many times before and it just always something was
always
coming?
Something going on between them two, man. I don't know. But this is gonna be the best fight. For sure, man.
Yeah. This will be. Now this one, these are if this
after
one,
that he have nothing to prove. I hope he's gonna retire.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
This would be amazing if he came out at the end and he said, look, I'm doing this for my creator, for Allah, you know.
I give up for the deen, man.
I give it up for the deen.
Inshallah, you know, this is what I was always hoping he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people look at him, a lot of youths, he's the example for them.
But he gave he gave some good advice. He don't advise people. Did he say that? Or
no, he advised people not to go study and stuff. Like, he gave good advice. He gave advice for a woman too. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Take care of the family, you know, stay with your kids and stuff like that. Yeah. He gave, like I say, he a very good character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But inshallah, like I say, a lot of people judging, a lot of people throw the big words, they talking, but like I say, you never going to make people happy.
Yeah.
And also, all you want is relation between you and Allah. And this is most important, because we don't know what he do with his money. How we know? Maybe he feed all Africa right now. But we don't know. We don't know what he do. It's between him and Allah. You know, at the end of the day, the Prophet says what? You have to defend the honor of your brother.
Yeah.
You know, and find a million excuses and never judge him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the Prophet says our days, the people, he see, oh no, he's commit haram, he's harami. Why you have to say that? You know, it's between him and Allah. Make dua for your brother.
Yes.
So you have to do, you know.
Yeah.
Because these days, Muslims hate on each other more than non-Muslims hate on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how it is. You go to the comments, you're reading, people attacking each other for small things, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, subhanAllah, man. Allah call you brother and sister in the Quran and you acting like you're not, you know.
The point I wanted to mention before was with Dustin Poirier, where at first he was saying that I'm going in enemy territory, something like that. But then this was really nice to see that he went over there and he experienced Islam in a sense of the hospitality, the warmth. As people get brainwashed to think, okay, I'm going, because he obviously said that because of the media and the hype. And he's
this was very strange too, because he trained with the Muslims.
Yeah.
We all there, Muslims, they know us, they respect us, they see we're Muslim, they know we go to the prayer in Jummah, we pray in front of them. They know, they respect us, you know. We train together, we help each other out. And then when he go over there, he see the hospitality of the people.
Yeah.
He see the people was training him like a king. So, you know, he apologized when he was doing. He said, man, I've been treated better than I treated back home. He said,
wait, Dustin Poirier, he said, what did he say?
He said, I was treated better here than I was being treated back home.
He was,
you know what I mean?
Treated better by the Muslims than
then he treated back
over
home.
Here, back home.
They
treat
him like a king. I talked to the coach, one of the coach in his corner, Daya Ali. His father was a Muslim too.
Yeah.
So he told me, man, we love it over here. They treat us very, very good over here.
Yeah, it's kind of opposite to what you're hearing, thinking they're going to cut our heads off. They think of all this nonsense that the media pushes.
And then they think you're going to be in the middle of the desert riding the camels. And actually they came and see the best cars, the best technology over there.
Yeah.
You know, they was amazed.
Yeah. So. But if people dig a little bit more, this is beautiful because having the best akhlaq, the best, like what they experienced, the hospitality really shifted. Hopefully he's thinking, and then he can go above and beyond and really think, because people, they just kind of just do what they seen their parents or their environment. So they put the cross on, you know, they go ahead and it's like, it becomes like a superstition, and they put God like in a bottle. It's like a genie in a bottle. You know what I mean? They do this for like more of a good luck thing. But if people do what you did, really investigate, because you come from a Christian background, you go above and beyond, blindly accepting many of these practices. Exactly. And look deeper and ask the Creator alone for guidance, he's going to facilitate a way. Because you know that doesn't make sense, many of these things, these practices, these theologies.
Of course, I always have a question, everything I did, and I always ask God to guide me because I really want to be in a straight path.
Yeah, you always ask the Creator alone.
Always ask God alone.
Alone.
And I always ask him to guide me to the straight path. I say, I feel this is something wrong with it. Please guide me.
Yeah.
Please guide me, guide me, guide me. And Allah guide me to the Islam.
Yeah. So I often just remind people, this is out of the love, you know, that we're sharing these things, because there's many people who are stuck in a rut. They're on Xanax, they're on drugs, they're on antidepressants, And that's not getting full with chasing materialism, fame, money. But when you find out really what the purpose of life is, you start living it. And that's deen. That's submission to the creator, exactly. Not the creation. That's Islam. Mm-hmm. That's where you get that contentment, peace, happiness that money cannot buy.
Physically, you can be happy with a woman, with having money, buy whatever you want. But the, you know, physically, you get tired every time. You buy one phone, the next phone coming, you want it, right? You get tired of the things. But mentally, meaning like spiritually, this is the best. You never get tired. When you're close to Allah, you're always happy. You have a stress, you have anything in your life, you say Alhamdulillah, you're always happy because Allah put you in this stage, mm-hmm. because you're close to Him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing you mentioned with Dustin Poirier, like you see, he goes over there, he changes his mind. So that's exactly what you do in a din show. You spread the word to change people's minds so they can deeply look at Islam and the Muslims and understand we're not the enemy.
Yes, that's the main thing. I like what you said. We're not the enemy. Even though we love, we feel this is the greatest gift that we can share with you is this way of life, Islam. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we still respect your decision. If you want to stay upon the way that you're upon, that's fine. But we have to understand that Muslims are here to stay, Christians are here to stay, and whatever else that you do, you're going to have to be accountable on the day of judgment. But at the end of the day, we need to work together to make this world a better place so we can live in peace and harmony. And we can agree to disagree on some things, but we should cooperate on the good things that we have in common and avoid many of these false things that separate us.
Exactly. I don't know. When people argue, always I bring the ayah from the Quran.
You have your way, we have ours.
And at the end of the day, God is going to judge us.
God will judge us. He's the ultimate judge.
There's nothing
to
argue about. You know?
But if people look at it from a place of love, that we share these things, it's not like, why? If you're trying to invite someone to your house, you're not trying to invite him to your house because he's your enemy.
Exactly.
So if you're trying to invite him to the purpose of life, to this way of life, is because you care for him.
Because you want him in a paradise like you, man. Yeah. You want the good for him, but this they don't think. They think, oh, okay, you want to do something bad to me. My man, I'm trying to invite you to the paradise.
Yeah, the house of peace.
Yeah, because back in the days, nobody inviting me.
Yeah.
I found the truth, and I trying to share this truth with you. You accept it or not, this is on you.
What advice, before we conclude, would you give for an inspiring athlete now who wants to pursue this cage fighting and to be in there? You being a professional fighter, so many fights, you've done all this. Now you've realized that this is not the way to go in Islam. What would you tell him?
I would tell him it's a waste of time and it's not worth it. You train for yourself to be physically strong, health purposes, you know what I mean, stuff like this. You go to school, but you focus on your next life. This is the most important thing. I don't tell you to go to the university, don't get a good degree, don't make money. Yes, do it. But don't forget why you're here and what your purpose. Allah says, I create the humans and the jinns for what? For worshiping me. You know, this is our purpose of the life. To worship Allah, spread the word, be good to the, you know, live this life the way that God wants from you. Mm-hmm. This is your purpose of the life. Not to get this plastic belt and other stuff. So don't be chasing something we're not going to help you in the akhirah.
Beautiful advice. Thank you, Ali Kadokov. Here, we finally had you here in the studio on the Deen Show, inshallah. We'll see you again sometime soon.
Inshallah.
We'll send you back over there to the warm weather. And when you come back here when it's warmer, thank you for being with us. May Allah continue to bless you and reward you for sharing and having that courage to not only live this deen, but to share it with others.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Wa iyyak. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. And thank you guys for tuning in. So the message is simple, that you got one life to live, and that life shouldn't be spent chasing your desires, chasing a plastic belt. But the Creator, out of His mercy and love, He sent messengers throughout time. And that message is always the same. Worship the one God, the Creator, not the creation. Don't worship yourself, your ego. Break through that idol and go ahead and start to sincerely, earnestly seek to know the truth. Why you've been created. Those gloves on your hand have a purpose. The watch on your hands has a purpose. The steering wheel has a purpose. The nose on your face has a purpose. And the list goes on. What about you, the human being? You don't have a purpose. Doesn't make sense. Seek out really what your purpose is before the death date, the departure date comes. And you'll find, if you're sincere, all those answers to all those questions in this beautiful way of life that Jesus lived, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in Islam. Look into it. Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you next time here on the Deen Show, God willing, inshallah. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.